Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. And isn't it lovely to see the sun? What a blessing. A very warm welcome to everybody who's worshipping today. This is Thursday morning in person at St. Andrew's. And also to those who will be watching this service on Sunday. And we feel that we're one with you. We're all one in the Spirit as we meet together to worship God. I'd like to say a special welcome to David and Liz Ritchie. When they came last Thursday, it was the first time that they'd come back to a live service. And it's lovely that David is going to bring us God's word today and Liz is going to do the intercession. So a special welcome to you. And as I say, if there are some, I believe, who are joining us today for the first time here in person, and we say the same to anybody who's joining us for the first time on Sunday, how welcome you are, and we do hope that you will connect with us in person or via our website. And one notice, before you go, but after we formally finish the service, Dave wants to have a word with us. So today we're continuing our series on the promises of God, and for a second week we're reflecting on that rich subject of the promise of the Holy Spirit. We thought last week about how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Today we're going back into John's Gospel to reflect on some of the things that Jesus said when he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, some of the ways that the Holy Spirit is Jesus to us in our lives today. So we're going to begin with a prayer to welcome the Holy Spirit. I think you can see that on the screen. Ah, sorry, I should be clicking. Here we go. Promises of God. And this is the opening prayer. And I shall say the words in yellow. And will you please join in the words in white? Shall we stand? Come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate and counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. And our first song is a welcome. We're saying, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We open ourselves to whatever you want to do in us and for us today. So if you're watching this at home, do join in and sing. We shall join in spirit here.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit.
Come to God in prayer. And first of all, as we open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, we want to make sure there's nothing in the way which is preventing him having that access to us. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." So we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, Alan is going to come and bring us our Bible reading.
The reading is taken from chapter 10 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, I beg your pardon, of John's Gospel, verses 15 to 27. And the title at the beginning of the reading is, Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to give you a little roadmap of what's going to happen now, because I'm going to go and sit down. So David is going to come and open up God's word to us. And when he has spoken, I invite you just to listen to the hymn, "O Thou Who Camest From Above," and use it as a time of prayer and meditation. Then Liz is going to come and lead us in our intercessions, and then David will take us into the communion service. So David, we look forward to hearing what you're going to share with us now. Let me just pray for you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our dear friend and brother, your servant David, and for his recovery from his recent illness. And we pray that you will speak to us through him today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Heather. I'm allowed to take my mask off now. A bit disorientating, isn't it? That's better. That's much better. What does this mean? Year by year, we probably echo the questions of the crowd in Jerusalem that first Pentecost Sunday. The sound like the sound of a violent wind, the sight of divided tongues as of fire, the event of speaking in other languages. What does this mean? So today we're going to do things a bit differently. We're going to backtrack through Pentecost, through Easter, through Good Friday even, to the evening of Maundy Thursday, the night of Jesus' arrest. For it is at this moment that Jesus, according to John's account in his Gospel, teaches us what is going to happen to him, to them, and to us. At this moment, the night of Jesus' arrest, don't forget, those earliest followers were bewildered. No more than that, they're numbed with an impending sense of tragedy. Jesus says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled," but they can't help it. "I'm going to prepare a place for you," he says. And they respond, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, what's happening? And Jesus uses a very powerful word. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. That, as we know, is when a child is bereft of their parents. But in those days, it was also used of students who lost a great teacher, who were bereft of the presence of someone who they looked up to. Plato says that when Socrates died, his disciples thought they would have to spend the rest of their lives forlorn, as children bereft of their parents. They didn't know what to do. They would be utterly lost. But Jesus told his disciples that would not be the case with them. I'm coming back, he says. Most immediately, of course, he came back with the resurrection, where we are reminded for 40 days he presented himself to them by means of many proofs, appearing to them and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. I love that. And I'd love to know a bit more what happened during those 40 days. Anyhow, that was short term. For during his earthly ministry, he could only be with one person or a group of people at a time. He could only be, as it were, with one lot of people. But that was the short term. What about the long term? How would he come back? He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Who is this strange person, this advocate, this helper? Jesus says, this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he'll be with you. Now listen carefully. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back to you. You could say from this passage that the Holy Spirit is simply Jesus in another form. When Jesus was here on earth in human form, he could only be with a few people at a time. But by his Spirit now, he's able to be in them. That's what he says. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. In human form, Jesus could only be with his disciples for a short while. But as the Holy Spirit, he can be with all his followers for all time. This is a tremendous truth. Jesus isn't going away at all from this passage. In a very real sense, he's still going to be around. He'll remain our companion. He offers us here something much better than memories. He offers us the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. But how did the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, work in the lives of those earliest disciples? How does he work in our lives today? In what guise, in what role does he come? First of all, I'm going to use four pictures that John paints in this chapter. First of all, he comes as advocate. He will give you another advocate. Advocate. The Greek word is parakletos, someone who is called alongside to help us. And it was commonly used in a legal context. If you were brought to trial, your parakletos would be your lawyer, or a witness for your defence, or simply a friend who'd come to give you moral support while you were in court. Yet it's not limited to a legal sphere. That's why our Bibles correctly have a footnote with another translation, helper. And I've looked up other translations as well, and the different words, comforter, counsellor, someone who stands beside you, parakletos. In the end, it's impossible to sum it up in one word. Some years ago, the Bible Society was working on a translation of John's Gospel in the Carré language, which is spoken in Equatorial Africa. They'd reached this precise passage and were looking for the local word to describe the word parakletos, comforter, helper, or the like. And to their surprise and delight, they found the perfect equivalent. In the local culture, if one of a line of porters became exhausted from carrying his heavy load and another bends down to help him. He is known in Kyrie as the Parakletos, the one who falls down beside us. The one who falls down beside us. Isn't that amazing? The significance of Pentecost for God's people is ever fresh. We need to remind ourselves day in, day out, that we're not left to struggle in the Christian life by ourselves. But Jesus comes as our advocate, our helper, the one who falls down beside us. Then the Holy Spirit of Jesus comes to us as a friend. He says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and will come to them and make our home with them. This is powerful imagery, isn't it? Jesus says here, those who show their love for God by living as he wants them to will experience his friendship, as God by his Spirit comes to set up home with them. Those who love me. It's a question Jesus asks all of us as his followers. Actually, he's not all that interested in how many years we worshipped in this church, nor is he particularly interested in how extensive our knowledge of the Bible is, nor does he really care about how generous we've been in sharing our time, our abilities, our money. No, he simply asks, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what he asked the first leader of the Christian church, Simon Peter. We marvel at Simon Peter's bold preaching on the day of Pentecost. Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Could this be the same man who only a few weeks beforehand was terrified out of his wits when asked if he was a disciple of Jesus Christ? True, much had happened in the intervening period, but the crucial point had been the gentle questioning of Jesus to his ashamed and humiliated follower. He doesn't ask him, are you truly my follower? Are you prepared to carry out my plans? Have you sufficient faith? Can I trust you that you won't fail me again? No, he simply asks, do you love me? As for Simon Peter, so for every follower from that day to this, including each one of us here in church today, if Jesus is number one in our lives, then my Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit as teacher. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. This was first of all a promise to those early disciples. The Spirit will aid their memory. The sayings of Jesus were so precious, and their memories would need jogging to recall them. What they taught by lip or pen would be a reliable expression of Jesus' own teaching. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of all I've said to you. And you know, that's why after the day of Pentecost, we never hear those early Christians lamenting the physical absence of Jesus. We never hear them saying, if only Jesus were here, he'd tell us what to do. They never said that. Why? Because he was there by his Spirit teaching them, reminding them. But there's a general sense in which this verse is true for all Christians. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is a closed book. I don't know why I've done it, but I've kept all my old school reports. And they were appalling, actually. They were absolutely appalling. No teacher would dare to write the sort of comments nowadays. But normally I wasn't all that bright. I came bottom of the class several years running. But there was one year where I was kept back a year, and I did rather better than usual. With one exception, I came bottom in Scripture. The headmaster's comment at the end of the report, still there to read if you want to see it, he said, a good term on the whole, but a pity about his ignorance of the Bible. And I've been trying the last 50 years to make up for it. In fact, I wish he was still around so I could talk to him about it. But without the Spirit's help, the Bible is a closed book, isn't it? We have no desire to read it, and we really can't see any relevance for it in our lives. This is one of my most treasured possessions. There's not much to it. Simply a paperback. It costs 3 and 6 pence, and it is The Gospels in Modern English by J.B. Phillips. And this was the very first book I possessed, when I became a Christian. And for the first 3 months after I became a Christian, I didn't join a church, didn't even know there was a church, really. I didn't know I was meant to join it. I just read the Gospels again and again from this book. And in a way I couldn't explain, they came to life. The words of Jesus rang true, giving purpose and a new direction. Was this the work of the Holy Spirit teaching me? As a verse from my favourite hymn, Lord for the Years, reminds us, Lord for that word, the word of life which fires us, speaks to our hearts, sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord, for that word, receive your people's praise. How much, day by day, you and I need to immerse ourselves in the Scriptures. Otherwise, we're missing out on one of the greatest blessings of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us and guides us how to live for Christ in a confusing, apathetic, and sometimes hostile world. So in this season of Pentecost, we think of the Holy Spirit as the helper, one who falls down beside us, as the friend who sets up his home with us, as the teacher who opens the Scriptures, and finally, as the peace giver, the one who brings peace. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Peace is shalom, the traditional Jewish greeting. And somebody put it like this. Peace doesn't mean the opportunity to relax and to put your feet up, but the strength to keep up your head above the waters in a stormy sea. It combines the ideas of inner calm, of well-being, of harmony. It's not a peace which is liable to be shattered at any moment. It's a deep-seated calm which persists in despite of disappointment, danger, or sorrow. Think of the stressful areas of our lives that are common to many of us. A new job, a family row, a difficult apology, facing exams, moving home, the nightmare of the pandemic over this past year, when lives have been turned upside down, illness, bereavement. And the list goes on. There is so much in life, isn't there, that can come, then can cause anxiety and worry. However, as Christians, we are promised a deep sense of peace. Peace I leave with you. A legacy that Jesus leaves to all his followers. My peace I give to you. A treasure he gives. And therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. One person put it memorably. The world may give outward pleasure, physical rest and enjoyment, honor, wealth, but never that inner assurance, which is the reflection of the smile of God in the heart of his child. we end where we began. What does this mean? We've talked about the theory this morning, but how does it work? What difference does it make? What evidence is there that God the Holy Spirit is active in your life and mine? I want to end with the testimony of George Carey, not when he was Archbishop of Canterbury, or Bishop of Bath and Wells, or Principal of Trinity Theological College, but when he was vicar of an ordinary, well, no church is ordinary, but a straightforward church up in Durham. He'd been facing a lot of opposition from all different quarters as the church moved forward. And not surprisingly, he was experiencing a very dry time himself. And this is what he said. The sheer poverty of my life contrasted with the quality of New Testament Christianity, and it forced me at long last to face up to my crisis. I found myself on my knees saying, Lord, you know the mess I'm in right now, and yet I owe you so much. I thank you that I met you. You met me when I was a lad of 17. And I thank you that you called me into Christian ministry and empowered me in your service. But Lord, I've become so busy in your service that I've lost you. I've been so self-centered and interested in doing what I want that I've forced you out of my life. I can't live this hypocritical life any longer. Unless you fill me afresh with your Spirit, I cannot go on. And he went on. He said, such was my prayer. Nothing dramatic happened. No thunderclaps, no Pentecostal wind or fire. Yet God spoke to me in a still, small voice. In the calmness of that moment, Christ came again into my longing life and claimed me as his own. And he concludes by asking, what difference did it make? What difference did it make? And these are the answers that he came up with. It restored to me a great love of Christ. Do you love me? A deep desire to read the scriptures. A longing to share the Christian faith with others. And a desire to praise God. And as we finish, may I suggest that we reflect on that? Are we filled with God's Spirit? Is God the Holy Spirit allowed to work in our lives? Do we have a real love for Christ? A deep desire to read the scriptures above all else? A longing to share the Christian faith with others? And a concern, a desire to praise God? Let's be still for a moment and reflect again on this passage. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.
In all. speak acting for thee. Still let me God the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat. To let thy endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete.
Let's firstly pray for our world, as so many situations need God's justice and peace. Lord, we pray especially for India as it faces the ongoing severity of COVID. We ask that there'll be more supplies of the vaccination available and that already overstretched medical staff will be given the strength and ability to keep going. We pray for peace in Belarus following the hijacking of the young journalist, that he will be safe. We pray for his family at this time. We think of Myanmar with unrest and the persecution of many Christians. Also, we pray for all migrant children who are being held in detention centres, that changes will be made to give each child a hope and a future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we think of our country, we pray for our government and medical and scientific advisers that wise decisions will be made, especially in view of the Indian variant. We pray for all affected by racial discrimination, so much on the news at the moment, that there will be unity and acceptance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for our local community and for our church family here at St Andrews and All Saints. Especially, we thank you for our church leaders, for Dave and Peter, Helen and Eddie, and all the team of volunteers. May we give them the encouragement and support that they each deserve. And we pray for their families, especially for half term coming up, that they'll have a good relaxation. We pray for vision for the future in these ever-changing times, and that the person of your choice will continue to nurture our young people, who are the church of today as well as of tomorrow. We pray for all facing exams at this time, for teachers and students, after all the disruption of the pandemic over the last year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who are struggling with health issues, whether of body or mind, that they would know your healing power. And we pray for the Queen and all who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Please give to each a special sense of your presence and your peace in their sadness. Let's have a few moments of silence as we remember those who especially need our prayers and comfort at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May we go out into our community transformed by the vibrancy of the Holy Spirit as our advocate, our friend, our teacher, and our peace giver. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we now come to that part in our service where we share God's peace with one another. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let's offer one another the sign of peace. I'm not sure how close you can get, but nonetheless, look at each other, wave, wish each other God's peace. So now we come to the communion, and we welcome around the Lord's table, as always, those who truly love him and who one desire it is to serve him day by day. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared your life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night that he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his coming and rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the whole world, we offer you the sacrifice of praise and lift our voices to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. And so draw near with faith, Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The tokens of God for the people. So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
Thank you.
That's what we long, isn't it? That we may discover the love and riches of God as the Holy Spirit makes his dwelling in us. And so we pray again, come Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for your gracious gift. So now may God give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us, now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord.